Hello and welcome to the 46th Planet Destiny podcast. If you're listening to this, hopefully you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving, because we're recording this on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, because we're not going to be doing anything Destiny related on Thanksgiving, even though I probably will be. So, how are you guys doing?
Speak for yourself, because, Don't worry, I'm in that club too.
Yep. Oh, by the way, Datto's here, guys. Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay.
Hello. Like you're,
hey, guys.
At this point, it's like you're third or fourth time on the podcast. Like,
yeah, people been know here. I am.
Yeah, no, yeah, we know you are. I figure we might as well start off with the biggest thing. Start off with a little bit of controversy. The Recruit a Friend program.
Don't you mean the end of the world as we know it?
Yes, oh, I believe so. I believe that's end exactly what we're talking about.
The Recruit a Friend program. Yes.
End of all good things program.
Yes. So, long story short, there is now a program in place where if you want to have a new friend come in and play Destiny, or find someone that happens to be very new to Destiny, and then you guys get to do this exclusive quest that pretty much takes you through the normal journey that a Guardian would go through. Pope, you want to describe the process just so all the listeners are fully aware of it, because you're the one that actually did the referring.
Right. So it was pretty simple, and they have a link on the homepage. You click on it. You select you want to refer a friend. It will give you unique web address. It's a link. And you email that link. Your friend will then click on that link, and it will go through that process of connecting your accounts. Then accept that link, and it will show up as a kind of like an infinity symbol or like link chains. So when you look in your roster and you go to find somebody to play with, you'll see who that person is that you've been linked with for this refer a friend quest.
Like basically all these quests are done with your linked guardian. It cannot be done solo. There's no way to like, you can't just like buy another copy of Destiny. You have to do the entire quest with another person. You do like a story mission, and then you do some patrol missions, a public event, a daily story mission. So that means by that point, you're pretty high up there in light level, and you have to do a heroic Vanguard strike, and then a Nightfall strike. So very encompassing as far as Destiny goes. Like you pretty much do everything up until the raid.
The main thing is that you need to have a new copy of The Taken King.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a new player.
Yeah.
So from what I understand of this, it's meant to incentivize existing players playing with newer Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not
Correct.
Doing that?
No, it's pretty much supposed to do that, but a lot of people have gotten their friends into Destiny. Like this is where the controversy part starts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have already gotten their friends into Destiny, maybe when The Taken King first came out, or earlier than that, or 8 minutes before they came out with this idea. So people are kind of pissed about that. You know, I've gotten plenty of my friends into Destiny.
Yeah.
I bought people PlayStation 4s so they could play it. People are pissed about the timing because, oh, I just got my friend in. It's really bad timing. And to that, it's just like, there's not a lot Bungie could have done about that. It's just like, that's when this was ready. This is when it could come out. It's the holiday season. It's very, very good timing for the holiday season because, you know, it's primo game buying time.
Mm-hmm.
Now's a pretty good time to get into Destiny, all things considered. So it was just a timing issue.
Well, but the reason though that people are upset is that there's rewards locked behind it, and
right.
that's the actual grumpiness that's been formed.
And the rewards are pretty good, right?
They're cosmetic.
It's an emblem. It's an emblem, a shader, a sparrow, a couple of emotes, and a reskin of a sword.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the sword's the exact same thing. Starts at 220. It's just a reskin, right?
Yeah.
A legendary sword. Mm-hmm. It's just a reskin. So yes, people are upset that rewards are hidden behind a wall that they cannot access. And people have taken this to mean, Bungie is trying to screw me. They hate me. They hate veteran players. They hate everyone who's not a new player. And I think people are being a little dramatic about that.
Yeah, when you say they can't access it, I think anybody could access this, right? You probably
they can
find somebody randomly on the internet who just bought Destiny and needs somebody to play with, and you're probably good to go, right?
Right, and it's not like this refer a friend system is not going to be around after like a month, or
yeah,
at least I have not been led to believe.
Yeah, it's going to be here. Like, I imagine they'll probably update it as the game goes. If anything, it's going to be like the Recruiter Friend system that was in World of Warcraft.
Oh,
you,
wow.
You mean the Recruiter Friend system that's in every single MMO known to man?
Yeah.
You mean that system?
Yeah.
So people are upset, and people think that if something is not in directly in favor of them, that it is malicious. It was a malicious decision to screw you over because Bungie hates you. And that's just so ridiculous to me. It's like bad things or inconvenient things can happen without being malicious. It's just a bad thing happened.
I don't get this one at all. I don't understand why people are
bad
upset.
Bad timing.
There's also some other stuff.
They're upset because they can't get access
to it. All they got to do is, you know, find a friend.
Maybe they don't have any more friends who want to get into Destiny, or, you know, they don't know anyone who wants to get into Destiny at all. But like you said, there are plenty of other ways to go and find someone to do this stuff. But it's just like, when I first heard about this, you know, I had spent over $2,000 getting people into Destiny. I'm just like, okay, cool. It's some bonus rewards. It's a emblem I'm probably going to use for a day. It's a shader I will probably never use. Sparrow's kind of cool looking. Couple of emotes. All right. Like, I just don't think the rewards are enough to get that angry about.
Now, let me share my opinion on the rewards. I think the shader is amazing. Gray-black combo. The Sparrow at this current iteration is nearly invincible.
That's a bug.
It's a bug, I know, but right now it's freaking awesome. It's super fast. It's as fast as the raid sparrows, but it doesn't blow up when you're going somewhere. The boost won't make you blow up. Dancing and the high five, I can understand why people are a little upset because I would really want it.
We had a whole set of emotes that cost money, and now these emotes are coming out, so people are valuing them, and I think that's the reason why there's so much rumble, is that we've already, long-term veterans have already got all their friends in, like we've tapped the resource of convincing people that they should play Destiny, so now we either have to go find a new person, and or spend a new copy on a game, and do it that way. I think that's the reasoning why people are angry about it.
Right, I think the level of anger is too much considering what the rewards are.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I mean, to Pope Air, they're super awesome and cool and they're great. Someone like me, I'm just like, okay, it's another shader. You know, I already have the year one VIP shader, which is pretty close. The emblem is, you know, I like the emblems that I got right now. The sparrow, I don't really care about too much. The emotes, you know, I got plenty emotes already that I don't use. These are just two more that are just going to probably sit in my vault. And the sword, I mean, my vault has probably 65 weapons in it, and it'll just be clogging up space. Yeah. So that's my perspective, which I understand is not everyone else's perspective. They're just designed to be a bonus. You know, they're not designed to be like this thing that's on sale like the emotes are or anything like that. It's just an extra cool thing. You know, it's not like, it's not Bungie saying, hey, refer a friend system, go market our game for us now, all of you, haha, free marketing. Like, it's not that. It's just like, oh, you and your buddy, you got Destiny, you were playing, he didn't, he was playing, you didn't, you getting it for the holidays, oh, that's cool, here's a couple of quests, you know, check out this emblem for you, some cool stuff for you, thanks for playing Destiny. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like it's supposed to be. You can put your outrage towards something considerably more controversial, I think.
I see the whole program as being fairly positive. You know, you're going to get veteran players helping out new players. That's a good experience. You're going to get veteran players who just want the reward going looking for newer players. And hopefully, you know, maybe, you know, worst case scenario is you got two people just helping each other out for a little while. Best case scenario, you actually get two people who make friends and, you know, end up playing together for a while. You know, yeah. Everybody's getting rewards out of it. That's great. You know, I really don't see a downside here. I just don't. I can understand being a little bitter, I guess, if you just, you know, got your friend to play Destiny and, you know, now he's raid level. So you're kind of, you know, now you're out of this program. But I would bet that if you go to LFG right now, you can find people to do this with if you're really just about the rewards.
And I'm sure, like, they're going to be improving on the system. Like, this is just the first iteration. They might, mm-hmm. you know, add some extra rules that make it a little more flexible in the future. This is just the first thing that they're trying. So mm-hmm. they're trying to see what's going to work and what's not going to work.
There's mm-hmm. There is also yeah. some of the other things as far as controversy yeah. goes. We had, like, in the original post about it, I think Deej said something along the lines of, we're going to introduce something to help out the Sherpas amongst the community.
Oh my god.
And yeah. so that was a very poor choice of words in that update.
It was a poor choice of words, but it was also the community taking it very, very, very literally.
Yeah.
I think as well. So I think, you know, he could have chosen a better word because everyone kind of understands, like, oh, Sherpa is like raid Sherpa. And, you know, but at the same time, the community can be like, okay, you know, we know what you're trying to say, not like literal Sherpa.
Mm-hmm.
I do completely understand the frustration of everyone that maybe they just don't have a lot of friends to play the game with.
Yeah, but this is a perfect opportunity to make new friends.
Yeah, and I understand that too. It's
See, part of the problem though is it's because it's the timing with the veteran people right now. With us that have consumed the content.
Yeah, we're also expecting right now new. That...
Yeah, we're expecting some sort of DLC drop.
Yeah, we're expecting DLC sort of announcement, about not it. A...
And the yeah. fact that this is in place of that announcement is making those people rile their skin. And that's why.
Is this under your feathers? It sounds like it's a little bit under your feathers, Tefty. Like, it does. It sounds like you're a little bitter about this.
I'm not bitter about it. I just see both sides. I'm 50-50. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I can see why it's kind of a slap in the face.
I can see both sides. I can, you know, I'm sure we're all jonesing for some new, for some leaks, mm-hmm. you know, yes. some content that yeah. we'll be like, we're like, no, don't upload it to YouTube. But then secretly we'll be like, oh, new stuff. And I'm sure we're going to see some stuff at PlayStation Experience. Yeah. So, you know, we're all jonesing for like, what's the new thing? What's coming on the horizon?
Which I can actually say that, yeah, I'll be at PlayStation Experience. Yay.
Yeah, same.
Yay.
So, like, but it's not like there's no new stuff coming forever. Like, people think it's like, okay, we're released to the Taken King. See you next year. Like, no, there more stuff's coming.
Yeah.
But it would just be nice if they dropped, like, a little bit of a hint other than, like, hey, we'll be at PlayStation Experience. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
If they'd been releasing news about the next DLC, like, in the last few weeks, they'd be completely overshadowed by, you know, the recent release of Black Ops 3, Fallout 4, like, all these new hot games coming out. You know, trying to get the message out about your DLC is going to be a little harder. If they would just wait for, you know, people are going to be playing Fallout 4 for a few weeks, and then, you know, they'll finish the campaign, they'll be looking for the next thing, and then you drop, you know, DLC for Destiny, I think you're going to find a much more hungry audience at that point.
Totally agree.
Agreed.
Much more receptive audience, too, to the new information that's coming. It's not just going to be, don't care playing Fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Challenge Mode. You guys want to talk about Challenge Mode?
I'll talk about Challenge Mode.
I'm dying.
I think Datto really wanted to talk about Challenge Mode, especially the one little piece of information that we saw in the weekly update.
Yeah. Sorry to the people who used the one orb strat little jab there. Yeah. I hope that the challenge mode for Golgoroth is more than like, hey, do the fight like how we thought you were gonna do it, but now you have to this time. Like, I hope it's more than use all the orbs or something like that. You know? Holtzman, I know you and I like chatted about
the tablet.
How could
stuff,
they fix it? Like, orb dropping it healed or you said, oh no, it added to the Totem of Ruin or something like that.
Any orb that isn't detonated at when he's lost his gaze will be added to the Tablet of Ruin. Because if you do the one orb strat, you kind of bail on all the curse thralls that are down there, and then you kill them later. Well, what if Golgoroth ate the curse thralls and then he healed? That would be fun.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot you could kind of finagle with it. The challenge modes are a very, very welcome addition. Mm-hmm. It's something I've been hoping for, and I'm glad they kind of built the fights the way that they did, where they started with hard mode or maybe even challenge mode, and then kind of reduced it down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the most obvious challenge mode for War Priest is just going to be they're going to gate his health every 25%, and you're just going to have to fight him at full power.
Yeah, so it's going to really matter about which order that you do it in to have the easiest of time.
So in the weekly update, they describe it a little bit. They say early in December, one of the King's Fall bosses will offer their challenge each week. You'll see which boss when you select the raid in the director, and you can do it in normal mode or hard mode. I think it's interesting that you're going to be able to see which boss it is. There's going to be like a skull, just like in a Nightfall, that indicates, you know, which boss it is. I wonder if it will indicate a modifier too, or if it'll just be up to you to figure it out.
I think it'll be up to you to figure
it
out.
They say it's up to us.
Oh, they say it is up to us. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to tell us. They want us to figure out what the challenge is.
Well, the question, though, is there multiple challenges per boss?
That'd be cool.
Because that would be awesome.
It would be great. I'm only anticipating one challenge per boss, but it would be very, very cool to have multiple challenges. I just found it interesting that there's challenges for normal and hard, because then, you know, my War Priest guess, where you have to fight him at full power, that kind of goes out the window. Because he doesn't, like, gain extra powers in normal mode. Yeah. So, now I'm just like, well, are both challenges the same? Is there a challenge for normal and then a challenge for hard?
I really hope it's not that's really easy. Like, you have to do the sequencing perfectly every time. It's like, well, we do that every time. Maybe you have to get off them in the same order. You have to get off them in a specific order as well once you get on them. There you go.
No,
I finished.
It's not.
Maybe. I did it.
I hope not. I want my ass to get kicked on these challenge modes. You know, I'm always looking to get my ass kicked for anything hard mode, anything challenge mode.
Yo, man, next time we'll be at PlayStation Experience. I can help you out with that. Oh, fight me IRL.
I'll fight you.
Yeah.
I'll pay. That's a pay-per-view right there, Patrick.
that's actually the capture event this year.
Oh, yes. We're going to...
No, but for Golgoroth, you know, they're obviously trying to do something around using all the orbs. Oryx is a complete mystery to me. I had no idea what they were going to do for the hard mode.
Mm-hmm.
I got no idea what they're going to do for the challenge mode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely not a clue.
Melee only. That's my guess.
Melee only. Melee, you got to go punch him in the stomach.
Oh, Jesus.
He's like, ow.
Quit it, guys.
You got a kidney shot him.
Yeah.
What do you think the rewards will be? Because they say that they work on both normal and hard mode and offer rewards to match. So that would indicate that there's different rewards for normal and hard mode, you think?
Probably.
Potentially. I mean, those emblems are obviously going to be one thing.
The ship?
320 artifacts, I think.
Yeah.
Or 310 plus artifacts are going to be the reward. Maybe like it'll be 310 plus for normal and then they'll just give you a 320 for hard.
Could be a nice thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll roll it. Maybe it'll be like a King's Fall artifact where it has like, you know, normal rolls 310 or 300, 310, and then hard is 310 to 320.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like the one thing that's missing. Everyone's been asking, where's the 320 artifacts?
Where's the 320?
This is like,
That ship, you know, too. That raid ship that nobody's been able to get, right?
Oh, yeah. Raid ship for probably for Oryx or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
or maybe
also,
for completing all of them.
Also, what about a raid exotic? I mean, I know Touch of Malice, but Touch of Malice was a raid tool. It's not really the end result of getting through the raid.
And the last three fragments come from the challenge modes,
right?
Mm-hmm. And we have absolutely no idea what happens when you get all 50 of them. So
there you
could
go.
Be something there as well.
I mean, that game Gameform article said we had to collect 50 fragments to get an exotic, right?
I think you get a refer a friend.
You get Thorn Year 2. So yeah, you get refer a friend. You have to refer a friend to start the exotic quest. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh my god. Don't even just. Oh my god. Yeah. No. But I'm excited to see how they kind of ramp it up. I thought hard mode was a decent step up from normal mode. I thought. I mean, obviously, it was done better than Crota's End or Vault of Glass was because they designed them that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it'd be a little bit harder.
I thought the Oryx fight itself was kind of perfectly balanced for hard mode, at least until you get to like 312, 313. Like it feels hard. You know, you feel like you're in danger all the time. The raid getting up to that point didn't really feel that much harder.
We didn't know. My group going through did not know that War Priest had any changes because we killed him in one damage cycle.
Yeah.
So we just didn't even know that he had changes. Golgoroth, we figured that out pretty quick. And that was a fun mechanic, but it didn't make it too much harder.
No, but it's awesome.
No, it is super, super awesome. Oryx was hard at the very start because there was a bigger jump in light that you had to conquer.
Yeah, like that was my big gripe with Kingsfall hard mode, was that it didn't feel like hard mode until you actually got to Oryx. And that was because the delta scaling actually went up enough for it to matter there.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was very surprised when War Priest didn't have any extra health.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had no extra health at all. I was like, isn't that kind of like a staple for a lot of hard mode stuff? It's just like, you just increase the health a little bit.
I know we gripe about it a lot, but I was expecting it at the same
time. It's weird when it's gone.
Exactly. I was expecting it as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to complain about it, but don't take it away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I don't really complain about it that much. It's something I'm used to being from MMO land. Yeah. It's just like the boss's gonna get a health increase. Like, that's just gonna happen. I'm glad that they didn't just like litter major enemies everywhere. Mm-hmm. I was very happy about that.
Or majors.
So that was a refreshing change of pace from Prison of Elders and Crota's End for sure.
Yeah. Definitely.
Crota's End with all those yellow health bar knights at the beginning. If you were wiping frequently, you just had to kill those guys over and over and over again.
Yeah. It's a good change they made, King's Fall.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely glad. I hope they continue that level of design process too, because it definitely shows, and once you're actually doing the content, it just feels right.
I really do hope, though, that the challenge modes actually add some sort of mechanic that we're not aware of. Like, I would love
I'd be stuck with that as well.
I'd love if maybe there was a burn that they added, or they started adding some nightfall modifiers, like grounded, I don't know, something to change it up, and something unique to the raid itself. That would be incredible. I feel like that would really make it fresh.
This might be their way of trying it out, because as much as we like adding modifiers, it's a hell of a lot cooler to add a new actual mechanic to the fight in the form of to make it more difficult.
Agreed.
Than just, oh, yeah, your radar is disabled, or now solar burn and everything does solar damage. Have fun. Like that.
Yeah, I think if that was the challenge mode, that would be a very, very big disappointment. Or I would be very disappointed.
I like the Nightfall. Or I used to like the Nightfall. It's kind of gotten old for me at this point. But I like when you get that special set of modifiers that actually makes it more difficult. And I like that about the kind of the first round of Prison of Elders, when we first were discovering the Prison of Elders and we were seeing all the modifiers for the first time and trying to figure out how to accomplish our task with those modifiers in place. I thought it was fun. But once you've seen them all and once you've kind of completed every mission with each modifier, it kind of just becomes routine.
Well, I mean, but that's going to happen with every single thing in the game.
True enough.
You know, eventually it's just going to be like, okay, let's just beast our way through it.
I like what Prison of Elders has like done to some of the things in Destiny, because it felt like a big experiment for the most part. Well, how will players react to this? Well, will they enjoy it? What parts will they enjoy it? Then we saw Court of Oryx, which was a much more refined version of Prison of Elders. You have boss, you have loot. There's none of that in between crap that comes out.
It was the idea of Prison of Elders was really exciting. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, a Nightfall that changes every time you go in there. It's going to be really awesome. Big boss to fight. And the execution just was really tedious. When you go in there, you just did not want to do it after a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And that was the problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right. Especially when the modifiers didn't actually change at all from week to week.
Yeah.
The level 35 never changed.
Yeah.
It's always the same, except for Skolas.
Yeah, Skolas would change. Even the level 32 and 34,
they would just rotate.
That felt cheap. The only thing that truly delivered on the randomness of the experience that we were promised was the level 28 version. I'll go in there from time to time. It's a great source of motes and strange coins if you ever need to.
Do you think they're ever going to bring it back? Like, recycle that content?
Recycle Prison of Elders? I hope not.
Yeah. What if they recycled it with what we would want, an actual fresh feel?
I'm not opposed to bringing back content as long as it's fun, you know? If it was fun, I don't really care if they wanted to bring back Prison of Elders and improved it. And the same goes for Vault of Glass, Curtis End. If they wanted to bring it back, sure, I guess I understand why they don't. It's because, you know, they want to work on new stuff as opposed to bringing back the old stuff. As long as it's fun, I really don't care what we get.
You could imagine, though, Vault of Glass 2 and people getting excited for it. Like, they could just say Vault of Glass 2. And, like, you'd be excited for
Aliens
it. Vault of Glass was awesome. But if they said Prison of Elders 2, you'd be like,
Well, that's because, like, prison had a much more negative relationship.
Right.
Or people think of it in a much more negative way than they did something like Vault of Glass.
Right,
yeah.
Or even Crota's End, so. But, you know, I'd still play it, and I would judge it independently. As long as it was fun, hey, good.
Not me, I've already judged it.
You got the right. You got the video waiting to go up. You're just waiting for it to come out.
Bookmatch cover.
I'll have that video up tomorrow. Here's what I don't like about Prison Elders 2.
Where Bungie went
It's just
wrong.
Tough bringing back old stuff because I feel like they don't win either way. You know, yeah. It's like if you bring back old stuff, like Bungie's just recycling old content, can't think of anything new. Mm-hmm. And then if they don't bring it back, like what the hell? You're wasting all this old content that was so good. Like they don't win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes they do it. I think it's. Everybody likes it. Like they brought back the Vault of Glass for the No Time to Explain quest. I think everybody liked that.
Yeah. Well, they I think everyone liked it as like a one time thing. Like, oh, we get to reminisce. We get to go through it. Like, if you brought it back like 3 times a week.
Yeah.
Not so maybe much. Not as much of a reception. But you know, we don't know for sure.
Since it is Thanksgiving, I feel like we should do something that's appropriate for it being Thanksgiving. Personally, myself, I'm just thankful that I have one of the best jobs in the world, where even though it seems like I just constantly complain about shit in a public forum, it's kind of awesome to play video games and be part of a really cool community, even though you guys need to kind of tone it down about some of your complaining. You know, I love it. I'm just eternally grateful for every single fan out there that led us to this position that we're currently in.
It sure beats the hell out of working 13 hours a day.
At fucking Target.
Or Target, you sound better.
No, you know, don't get him on the Target.
We already did that in one of the other podcasts.
Yeah, you know, I used to work 13 hours a day on film sets, you know, six, seven days a week for basically nothing. And now I get to set my own schedule. You know, I got a lot of fans. I get to do something that's, you know, like you said, I might complain about it a lot. I might be panicking every Saturday night because I don't have any video ideas. But end of the day, it beats the hell out of 99% of the jobs out there. Yep. And it's certainly a very interesting experience to be a part of it. You know, I never thought of myself as being a guy who was capable of having any sort of famousness. And yet here I am. Very, very interesting life experience, and I'm very thankful for it that it came around, especially at the time that it did. Otherwise, I might be in a little bit of life trouble, to say the least.
You never really realize it, too, as a YouTuber, that you actually have, like, you know, you help people.
People who care about
there's
you.
There's people who care about it. Like, when I was at the Red Bull event, that's only the second time that I've ever really met with people who are, you know, like, subscribers or people who, you know, follow you in any way, and it was just really... really fucking cool to just have people genuinely interested in what you do and then them being like really happy that, you know, you make videos for a game that they really love. It's
most YouTubers, they make memories out of those negative experiences. Like, you know, you can have 100 people saying nice things in a Twitch chat and then one person comes along and says something dumb and then that you just focus on that. And it's like, you don't take in enough of all the positive things that people are saying. And that's definitely happened to me where I just, you know, I know that there's thousands of people out there who like what I do, but then there's that few little bunch of people that I choose to focus my energy on for whatever reason, vengeance. Sure, why not? And it's like
kind of makes Dad, it feel Dad, like I'll be hopeless. There in a minute. I'll be there in a minute, Dad. Someone's wrong on the internet. I'll be right back.
You know, you don't take enough time to focus on all the positive energy that might be going out. It feels like we're always angry all the time.
Yeah,
this is like we
ever tune
like
into
we're
a
constantly
chat.
Fighting.
Oh my god! Like when we were doing the when Pope, you and I were doing the refer a friend thing on Twitch. You were like, why is Patrick so salty today? And it's like, because questions.
Today, this is my life. It's overall, we very much enjoy what we do. Yeah. Everyone. I think I speak for everyone.
I think that falls in line with something that I really am thankful for. And it's been my opportunity to... I work in schools, and I enjoy giving back in that arena, helping kids. But what my role here in this community has been to get people together and help charities and help the community express themselves that way. And it's been a great experience for me over this last year and a half to be able to have that voice and be able to connect people with maybe their first time gift giving or to become involved in the community in some way. And I get a lot of feedback like that, that, hey, I never really thought of myself doing this before. I'm really thankful for that.
It is. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's pretty hard not to be thankful over the community, because ultimately Bungie made a really great game and we all enjoy it. But the fact that we're playing it is because of the community. And for me, it's being thankful over the fact that people are interested in what I'm doing, because it's an amazing experience. I mean, you get to see people respond and react both on Twitch and YouTube. And
yeah, you have built quite a following on Twitch too yourself, Teffy. Like you have a you got the subscriber option on your personal
channel. just recently that crossed over. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was really awesome. It's great because I don't play Destiny on my personal channel. Mm-hmm. I only play Destiny on Planet Destiny's Twitch channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been awesome to see people just interested in what I'm doing in gaming, in the gaming world in general, mm-hmm. and to see that kind of response and that support. And it's the community 100% that I'm thankful for, both the good and bad, because you can't have just all bright. You can't just have a continuous sunny day all the time. You have to have the highs and lows with it. And that's what creates an interesting community. And that's also what creates opinions and people to push and pull on that that inspire new things. Yeah.
The community, for me, made year one of Destiny, right? That's what pulled me in to begin with. I was playing Call of Duty and fine with Call of Duty. And I started playing a game called Destiny. And I was like, holy cow, this game is super fun. And then I go on, you know, Reddit and I start watching Dado's videos. And I got really into this game, and it was really cool to like get pulled into the community and then start making friends inside Destiny itself. I now have friends inside Destiny that I made through Destiny. These guys have my phone number. I never made any friends in Call of Duty that I get my phone number to. I can tell you that. But in Destiny, man, I've like got real friends. I got the Milk House Clan. You know, we play Trials Osiris. It feels like our own little MLG event that we get to play in. You know, it's just, you know, the community and like small groups of friends and like, you know, meeting the Planet Destiny guys and doing the podcast every week with you guys is like a huge like highlight of my week. You know, doing the King's Fall Raid World's First runs with you guys was amazing. You know, it's like
that was a lot of fun.
The community is, to me, what makes this game.
Speaking of the raid and us doing so, should we get together and do another one of those events for challenge mode and have to do another 12-hour stream? Because God knows, like, guys, we got to get these streams under 12 hours when we're doing, when we're trying to clear something for the first time.
They are a little draining.
They're a little draining.
A little. Oh boy.
I think that is one thing that I've realized on Twitch. I admire people that can do 24-hour streams,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think I'll ever be able to do a 24-hour stream. I'm just not built. I need to have my sleep.
More of a hit it and quit it kind of guy, right?
I don't have the energy.
Yeah, exactly.
So when Patrick brought up this topic for our conversation today, I broke it down into three things. Things we are thankful that no longer exist. So I'm really glad that Thorn and Bolt, Thorn-Bolt combinations, the Thorn in general is gone. I'm really glad I no longer have to do Skolas with viewers.
Not because of Skolas or anything.
No, Skolas is horrible. Cheesing. I'm really glad that we can't cheese the raid.
That's true.
I'm really glad that network unplugging your network cable's gone.
I'm really sad about that.
Glad blink shotgunning is pretty much gone. For the most part, it's getting there. It's almost there. I'm glad Final Round is out. I'm glad Gallahorn's gone. And,
jeez, Pope, you're not going to be truly happy until everything's gone, aren't you?
I'm really glad that the year one story is also gone, or the lack thereof. So
The thing I'll say about G-Horn is like someone actually made a very good point about G-Horn to me the other day, was that while I'm sad, or I'm not sad that G-Horn is gone, I was thankful for the legacy it made for the game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it made it, it had insane community hype, and especially in year one. And it's just like a thing that people went berserk for. And I think that was that kind of response to something, you know, beyond the weapons, like in-game potential and all that stuff, was something that was very, very good for the game.
Mm-hmm. It's so well set up for a triumphant return, too.
Oh, yes.
That'll be cool.
So would you guys add anything to that list of things that you're glad are gone? You're thankful that are gone?
I respond well to your running people through the Skolas fight, man. That was tough. Running subscribers through the Skolas fight was rotten.
There was that emblem, right, for completing the, what was it called?
The Moments of Triumph.
Moments of Triumph. And yep. So people needed Skolas to be done. And I helped a couple friends with that. And those were some of the most, worse than any raid, I feel like I struggled with Skolas.
Doing that fight with two people is really difficult.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as bad. I don't know. Maybe I had a lucky streak. I had one day where we were helping people with Moments of Triumph, me and the math class dudes. And so what we would do is it would be me and two other people running up to Skolas. Mm-hmm. Then we would bring someone in, do the Skolas fight. And I think we one-shotted it every time. And then that person would leave. We'd bring back in another math class person and we'd go up to Skolas and keep doing it like that. And that wasn't nearly as bad. It took a while. It
sounds like a good idea.
Yeah,
that, it took a that, while to do, but it was not nearly as bad that's as I think.
That's a much better idea than what we did, because I was usually like, like two guys never been through. Yeah, let's do it. And I love every single person that I ran through there, but when I start out a stream and I have 3 hours, I usually want to get two people. I usually want to get like two groups through, not just one. It's nothing against those guys. It's just like those fights were really difficult to pick up on.
The only time I did punishing. It, I had a guy who I could rely on as my teammate, and then we decided to just bring in a subscriber, and we'd run him through the whole thing, and he didn't have a mic.
Oh, no.
It was okay until we got to the Skolas fight, and then, you know, we had to deal with the taint of Skolas, which is terrifying. I mean,
the taint of the taint of Skolas.
That's something I'm glad I don't have to say every single time on stream.
I got the taint.
When he got the taint, we told him, okay, you have to dance so that we know when to take it from you. Like you really had to focus on that bottom left-hand side of the screen. It was difficult. We got it done, but it was difficult.
I imagine.
Oh, boy.
Well, the next list is things we are thankful existed. So these are the things that I'm really happy existed in Destiny. And in my time, overall, the Taken King. I'm really glad the Taken King came about, and it is a thing, and it changed around the game for me. I'm super thankful for Kate Six having a personality.
Mm-hmm.
And Exotic Swords and the Seventh Column. For me, being part of the Seventh Column playtesting was a huge highlight for me.
I'm honestly really thankful for all the things that you said you like weren't thankful for, or you're thankful that are gone. I'm very thankful that those existed, so we have something to base all of our complaints off of.
So you can pull the back in my day card?
Yeah, like, like back in my day, we had to deal with people firing two rounds off into the dirt and then hitting you with one shot. Just saying.
We are all proud owners of the year one back in my day card.
Oh, yes.
We can play that whenever we want.
No matter which way you look at that card, it looks like you're going up a hill on it. And it's very snowy.
And so we always leave the conversation of thankfulness as to what we'll be thankful will not be here next year. I started off with my list of shotguns and solar hammer titans.
Pope, what the hell, man? I thought you were with me on this solar titan.
Oh, no.
Man. Come on,
no
man.
No way, Briar.
Come on.
I'm sorry, man.
That is the appropriate response.
Such a noise would instill such fear in everybody. Just clink.
And run! Then somebody.
Oh, my God, run.
Somebody in the chat goes, there's always that troll in your team who drops their hammer and doesn't say it's yours. You know?
Yeah.
5 seconds later. Oh, it's me.
Oh, it's me.
And thanks. Yeah. I could have used that information.
Yeah, that's good. I already ran myself off the side of the map so they couldn't get any points from me. I was just going to stay dead.
Speaking of Sunbreakers, we went into Iron Banner the other day. It's 5 Sunbreakers and 1 Golden Gun. And we just chained Sunbreakers. So as soon as 2,500 points hit, that was about when we started getting the super. And it was just awful. It was just stupid. I felt bad.
Yeah.
Felt bad every time that we did it. Just super. Oh, who's next?
You
super.
Didn't feel that
who's next?
Bad.
Super. No, I felt bad, man. I felt bad. Because
it'll be getting slapped in December, probably.
It was one after the other, and we did it for several games. We even went up a good against a good team that had some decent counters to it, and it didn't matter. It did not matter. We still just killed them.
Do you guys remember the 5 Titan Defender bubbles and 1 Golden Gun?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I sure do. I think that's a lot lamer.
Yeah,
though.
Oh, well, it's
so passive and lame.
Well, you just bubble up in the middle and just keep trading off bubbles while the golden gun runs around and kills people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which yep. is which is probably maybe one of the catalysts that caused them to slightly change the way orbs of light work in Taken King now.
Yes.
Because you notice the bigger orbs get you a lot, the super small ones get you barely anything.
Have you guys noticed a trend that Titan Supers change the meta of the game? I mean, look at the Titans. I think they keep trying to make them relevant, but they don't know. I mean, it's just, they're just either not effective or extremely too powerful, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the reason why I think no one's going to be happy with Sunbreaker Titan nerfs until Sunbreaker Titans are just in a dumpster in, like, the back of Bungie Studios. That's the only way people are going to be happy.
Just take Cauterize off.
You are now Defender Titans, but you use flames instead. That's it. By the way, you no longer have suppression grenades.
They literally gave the Striker Titan or the Flame Titan every good thing, like the solar grenade, the fusion grenades.
Even the time, it takes like 26 plus seconds to fade away.
It's ridiculous. See, people complain about that. But then no one complains about how Stormcaller barely uses any energy when it's used and lasts, what, 3 seconds?
That's fewer? Right, Datto. You tell him, Datto.
You tell him, Datto.
I just want to lay that out. For all the complaints that Sunbreaker has, at least when you throw a hammer, it costs you a good chunk of energy. And the Sun Charge thing takes a lot of energy as well, provided that you actually hit someone. If you actually hit someone, it takes like half your bar.
To be fair, the Stormcaller, like, you have to spec for that to last that long, and you have to have, you know, your grenade and melee all the way up, but that's not
very true.
Yep. Not very difficult to do, truthfully. And there's not a hell of a
very
lot.
Very true that you do have to spec for it.
Not a hell of a lot.
But even if you don't spec for it, it does last a pretty long time.
Right, but as a Stormcaller, when you kill someone, do you get your health back?
You don't, but if you use it correctly, you will end up killing everyone regardless.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's nobody left to kill.
The Titan, getting one kill and getting their health all the way back is pretty broken. Cauterize being taken out.
And requiring requiring a headshot and a body shot from a sniper. That's just, come on.
I think if they bring that down, a lot of complaints will go away.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's
if they
feel.
Just bring it back, if they bring it to 50, mm-hmm. Armor reduction instead of 55, it doesn't seem like it would be that much. It's just 5%, but like that 5% makes so much of a difference.
It's the
That's
best
why I was so 5%. Surprised. When I was doing my tests, I was like, wow, this is really only 5% more armor. And yet it made just a world of difference. I thought it was like something like 10 or 15%. I was like, it's gotta be a lot, right? Nope. It's like 5%. It's
wow,
crazy.
I didn't know it was that little.
Yeah, it's only 5%. Same as Radiant Skin.
Wow.
But you can't snipe a Titan at the headshot. So.
Yeah.
Well, you can't.
With a black spindle, you can. And you tell him, Briar.
specific sniper rifle.
Once you get good.
Yeah, I guess I just need to get good. You're right.
which we do know that will be coming in the December update, because where they said in the next, I think it was like in the December update, we will be discussing or we will be going over the weapon and class balances coming.
Cauterize now extends your super by 15 seconds for every kill.
Killing it. Sweet. Perfect.
I'm fine with that. I'm actually gathering clips right now for when Sunbreakers get nerfed, and I want to do like a Save the Sunbreakers commercial.
Nice.
So I already have a Reaper, and I have a back-to-back Phantom Metal clip as well, which I'm sure will make a lot of people happy.
For just 39 cents a day, you can save a Sunbreaker Titan.
Yeah.
I was with you, Twitter Briar. Questions?
Yeah, we can answer Twitter questions.
Chicken Lord's question.
Chicken Lord
send me
great.
His foot shavings so I can put them in tea bags.
Oh, Jesus.
Foot shavings?
What?
Yeah, that's what he wants.
I don't shave my feet.
Like wait, is he talking shavings. About like the top of your foot, shaving the hair off the top of your foot? I thought he was talking about skin off the bottom of your foot.
Either way,
it's disgusting.
Those are nothing I save or maintain. I wash my feet. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's maybe like 3 strands. No.
So sorry, chicken is not good.
Let's get to something really serious here. Henry DeLorosa asks, can Datto tell Bungie to fix assist on snipes and fix fusions? Datto, can you do this?
I'm on it.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
The answer is yes.
Get Deej on the phone here. All right. I got Gjallarhorn nerf. Apparently, I'm also getting shotguns nerf.
You got shotguns nerf?
That's also my fault, so you're welcome.
You're
killing it.
Yep.
Battle's killing it.
I'm doing a lot out here.
You got doors added to fights, too. If you really look at Kingsfall, there's doors on all those fights, man.
Oh, yeah, you can't go through, can't go backwards during Warpriest.
Mm-hmm. Or Golgoroth.
You're welcome, community.
Agent Orange says, what archetypes of guns should we be stocking up on before the next batch?
Good question.
Zalo's Supercell type auto rifles. That class, they're getting an 8% buff in damage.
Since their stability is kind of like a little wobbly, I think it'll probably end up being okay. And like pulses are really not getting hit as hard as I think everyone thinks they are going to get hit. So they'll still be able to compete with auto rifles, you know, in auto rifle range. But that is like the one archetype where I feel like it does have the most potential. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a Zarinea D with crowd control and counterbalance from Arms Day that was just recently delivered, which is like the only thing I suggested.
Yeah, that was the only thing worth picking up this week.
Yeah. But I think those do have potential. Zalo is probably going to get a nice little boost from that. The chain damage on Zalo is very underrated. It's two shots worth of bonus damage if there's another target next to your main target or close enough to hit that chain. So that damage is very underrated. So you might start seeing a bunch of Zalos. You're right.
They got a perfectly rolled auto rifle that has really low impact but high fire rates.
Oh yes,
if it has super high stability and good range. That thing could be a beast.
If I could say that Pope is absolutely right about that doctrine of passing the Trials auto rifle. I got a 320 light level one with counterbalance on it.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
God. Did you? I've gotten three of them all hidden.
Have you been a counterbalance and brace frame?
Yes.
Yes, that's the combo. Well, frame. Okay, that's the combo right there is the counterbalance and brace frame, and it just destroys.
Like, Dado, I'll have to let you share play this auto rifle because it's stupid. It's just stupid.
Yeah, I want one really bad. It's a fun gun to use, but I feel like when it has counterbalance, it's actually viable as a weapon.
Oh, yep.
It's unbelievably viable.
And I really, 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 really want to play
it. It turns the bullet hose archetype into just a water jet. Like, it's a straight line.
Yeah.
You pull so slightly down on the control stick to correct that recoil, and you just funnel bullets into people's heads. It's amazing.
It is a lot of fun. And with a buff to the damage, it's going to dominate.
Yes.
Nice. I actually got one this last trial, so that's not adept, but a regular drop. Mm-hmm. And I need to test it out, because it has persistence, it's got counterbalance, and
obviously
brace
fan. You'll like it.
Yes, you will.
I feel so dirty saying I like an auto rifle, but I like this one.
Something like Suros as well.
Yeah, the new Suros regime, we will definitely see a resurgence of that because the fact that it fires faster and has more stability.
If you actually get spinning up to happen, the thing's unbeatable. Yeah. It just melts people. But, I mean, it's rare that you can get that to happen because you got to shoot for a while.
Well, you can. The spinning up, is it the longer you fire or is it the bottom of the mag?
No, it's the longer you fire. Well, it's both.
Okay.
The longer you fire, the faster it'll shoot, but it takes about half the magazine for it to actually kick in to a noticeable degree.
I truly haven't played with the new Suros at all, so.
It's fun, but it's rare to actually hit that point. It's like with Thunderlord. It's rare that you're getting to the point where you've shot 20 shots and, okay, now it starts to kick in and you're like,
oh, wait, hold on. The podcast. Yeah, we didn't get to talk about this last time we were on the podcast because it didn't happen yet. We know some of the stuff that's coming to the December update. Like, we know some of the
quote-unquote. I wanted to mention the Mida multi-tool. I think Scout rifles are going to be big. Yeah.
Mida's going
to
be huge.
Range nerf to...
Mida's
going to
be very,
the range
very
nerf
strong.
To pulse rifles, Scout rifles are going to come into their own, I think. And the Mida multi-tool is making its comeback. That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful
those
thing.
Four-shot headshots.
Yeah. And that increased agility is so fun. And
that thing's going
to
be nasty.
Dada, what do you think it needs to happen to Fabian's strategy to be good?
I thought that the front line's bonus was actually going to make the weapon fire noticeably faster. So that's what I thought would kind of give it an edge in PvP, where it's like, okay, if I am surrounded, I can maybe melt some people. What they're doing now with it, where it's like front lines basically turns it into a bullet hose, but it adjusts the damage as well. Like, that doesn't really sit too well with me, because bullet hoses historically are not great. But if it gets a good, like, stability buff, since they have to, like, change a bunch of the perks around on the gun to make sure that it doesn't break. If it gives it enough stability, and if it's stable enough where it actually does do some work, I think it'll be an interesting option.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but if it doesn't do that, then it's just going to be a piece of crap.
The problem is it has to actually be, like, a doctrine of passing with the counterbalance and persistence, essentially.
Right.
Well, the stability buff does work.
I don't think it's going to hit that.
As it sits now.
Yeah, it does work.
That thing is super stable when that perk kicks in.
Yeah.
That's
true.
But
it's the damage is not really noticeable enough. Like the archetype right now is so not strong that it's tough for it to do well.
It said in the patch that it's actually going to bump it to the highest fire rate archetype when it goes into that mode. So that's why, like, if it's not Doctrine of Passing with max stability, then I don't know if it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
And you're going to rip through your ammo.
Totally agree. 40 shots, you could bump it up to 48, but they're getting rid of extended mag because of, like, if it still had it and you used it and it turned into a bullet hose, it would create some issue with the gun. So they're just, like, reworking all the column of bonuses to make so it doesn't break. Maybe if they kept the damage but turned it into a bullet hose, it'd kind of be like, you know, it would annihilate things up close, but up far away it would be a little bit tougher. But
okay.
We'll see what happens with the gun. You know,
gotta play with it. One of the interesting things they've done with when they bring year one guns into year two, or year one anything into year two, is they make minor tweaks. And now that they're bringing Dragon's Breath in, what kind of tweaks do you guys think they'll make to this gun to make it kind of more
no relevant? Longer makes your game crash?
We had a lot of fun with that. I remember my raid group going in just like, what if we just spammed Dragon's Breath and brought 6 Warlocks? Turns out bad things happen and you break Vault of Glass. I think that gun could use a little bit more velocity, and if it got tracking, it would be fantastic.
Yeah,
I think tracking would be fantastic. Would be the big ticket right there.
Another thing I think would be interesting would be if it had, like, cluster bombs, but those cluster bombs turned into solar nades.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So you just spread wildfire everywhere. I think that would be interesting to see. I don't know if it'd be good, but it would be very interesting to see.
I have a feeling that the if you take a look at the rocket launcher, it reminds me of a World War II nose art for a fighter jet. I have a feeling that its intended design was to drop like napalm. You're going to shoot that rocket and it was supposed to explode and drop napalm everywhere and burn everything. So I don't think you're that far off. I think the reworking of it is going to be a lot more lethal and spread fire wherever it goes, kind of like napalm.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Especially now, because like in year two, it doesn't really feel like enemies move out of AoE as much as they did in year one.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think see like them get kind of like Viking Funeral added to it, where they're going to burn or touch a flame, we might see how like an actual burn associated with it, where if you walk into that flame, you're going to take lingering damage as well. We might see something like that.
That'd be good.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be a nice bonus.
I think it would be cool for, you know, hit the main boss or the main character in a PvE situation. You hit the knight or whatever, the yellow character, with the main brunt force of the rocket launcher, and maybe it doesn't kill it, but it damages it. And then the napalm spreads around to the adds and burns them.
Like almost like a firefly effect. It just kind of keeps chaining. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Dude, it would be sweet.
It'd be really cool.
I don't know. I'm hoping that they make it relevant, and I hope they make all of them relevant again.
Yeah. Hey, Tefty, guess what's coming back?
No land.
The Armamentarium.
That.
Did you
remember the podcast where I said what I wanted? I wanted the Armamentarium, and you're like, no.
Yeah, I know. I know it's back, I'm like, I've already made my peace with it. All right. I'm like, all right. Have your double nades, double lightning nades.
We're going to need it for when Sunbreakers get absolutely slapped in the face.
From the tears of Sunbreakers?
I'm going to go back to year one status, double lightning nades.
Double fusion grenades, really any of the Solar Titan grenades are good.
Yeah, they're all right.
I don't think they're anything special, but they are solid.
Does it give you double nades of anything, the armamentarium?
Yeah.
It just, yeah, give you an extra grenade.
Oh, okay. That's it. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was only lightning nades, but it must be because all Titans rolled with lightning nades.
It was only lightning nades. Because they were the best nades.
Yep. They were the only grenades.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much only started being a Titan for 8 months now. And even then, it doesn't get a lot of attention. So I'm sorry, Briar and Datto. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You should be. Forgiven.
What other questions we got from Twitter? Because we kind of went off on a tangent there.
Okay. Did we talk about No Land Beyond, though?
On the No Land Beyond coming back.
Yeah. I want to know what you guys think they're going to do to it.
I don't think they're going to do anything to it.
They don't really need anything.
The weapon, I remember from March, they said, like, in a open house that the No Land Beyond was designed as a run-and-gun PvP weapon for snipers. I don't think there's anything in the world that they can do to that thing to make it good in PvE. But I think if you make it too good in PvP, then everyone's just going to be running around with No Land Beyond, one-shotting everybody.
It already got kind of fixed in 2.0, too.
Yeah, it was made a little bit easier to handle and to use.
They fixed the parallax issue with the sights, which was very welcome. Yeah.
It's usable. You should still absolutely treat the thing with respect, but I don't think there's many changes they can make where it becomes good or in PvE or anything like that. You know, that's a weapon where it's very, very small changes need to be made because I think just a little too much, and that will just tip it over the top.
I know, like, basically...
to being ridiculous.
I'd love to have an M1 Garand-style rifle in Destiny, just because that's... If I ever play World War II shooters, that's what I always use, but... Oh, God, if it had the same balance that it did in all those games, where it's, like, one-shot headshot with a Garand, all right, and it's fully semi-automatic, it would be stupidly good.
It would be like a Call of Duty gun.
Yeah.
More questions? This is a weird question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Rezo Legend says, why didn't my beta stuff carry over?
All right, thanks for having me on the show, guys. Very much appreciate that. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See you guys later.
Bye, Dado.
Bye, Dado.
All right, Q asks, is the buff to the first curse enough? I think, Holtzman?
All right, I'm back.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'll let Holtzman tackle that.
Yeah,
one.
the first curse. I think that buff it's not gonna make it like Hawkmoon quality, but it'll make it way better to use. It'll be, I don't want to say it'll be PvE viable, but I'll be definitely. I have my eye on it now for PvP. I'm willing to try it again for PvE. Just the fact that proccing first curse will refill the magazine. That's good. Cool. You're getting more range, more stability. Reload's not going to be an issue if you can proc first curse. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
All right, Tratorian asks, should Bungie be more transparent with future plans between content releases or just in general? We've actually talked about this one quite a bit.
It's a tough question to answer because things change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things happen, things change. So if they say one thing, and then 3 months later, it's different from the thing because something happened where they had to change it, then there's riots in the streets. Oh, you said
no
this,
raid.
And now it's going to be this, and that's BS. Like, it's tough to do it because you don't want to set false expectations. I assume he is trying to reference, or she is trying to reference the fact that we haven't heard anything about what's coming next with regards to year two. And in that regard, I thought something was maybe going to be announced in the weekly update. We didn't really get too much. The most they'd said is, you know, see at PlayStation Experience. But I do think that if we just isolate Vanilla Destiny and Taken King Destiny, there's a lot more stuff to do in Taken King Destiny. So a lot more players are still kind of chewing through that content. So they're not as desperate to find out what's coming in the future, because they still have their plate half full of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the people at the higher end, and the people who follow the game a lot, are just like, all right, what's next? Come on. Gotta feed the addiction. Gotta feed
the dragon.
My thirst for knowledge. And so it's just, you know, it's just people wanting to be anxious. So while I'm surprised they haven't announced anything quite yet, we know that it's coming, and otherwise, I think, you know, I think it's okay what they're doing right now, but they really need to, like, just drop something on the floor and let someone pick it up and let other people oogle at it for a little bit, just to calm the masses.
Early December, I think it'd be wise that we start hearing about something.
Right. I totally agree.
Yeah.
AUF Rillo 117, do you think they'll add an additional tier to the subclass to revamp subclasses?
An additional tier?
Tier to the subclass to revamp
basically, classes. So, like, when you go look at, say, Sunbreaker right now, there'd be another row of things on the right or at the very bottom.
Another column. Like
column. I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't anticipate that happening anytime soon, honestly. I think whenever they revamp the subclasses, they're just going to revamp existing talents. I don't think they're going to tack on another row. That might be something for a major expansion or a game release, but in the middle of the year, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no. Well, we'd see it with a big major release if it does happen. It takes so many design choices like that from World of Warcraft, and I'm sure we'll see something like that at some point in Destiny's lifetime.
Mm-hmm. At the Briar Rabbit asks, what do you guys think we'll see in Destiny 2? Do you think we'll see brand new subclasses, or do you think we'll see additional subclasses? You know, do you think we're going to see the same subclasses just added to them or modified, or do you think we're going to see brand new subclasses?
For year three?
Year three. Yeah, my bad. Destiny 2 is what I was kind of getting at.
Okay. I was going to say, year two, this question's from about 4 months ago.
Well, I'm really curious.
fair enough. I don't know. Someone else can tackle that while I think for something.
Yes.
Great answer!
Killed it.
The problem with adding new subclasses is that they have to fulfill a design premise, right? They have to do something different compared to the other subclasses that are already in the game. So you could invent a new elemental archetype. You can call it poison or acid or something like that. But if the subclass doesn't do anything different compared to the subclasses we already have, that doesn't really fulfill a design problem in the game. So, that just kind of like, it's like, look, it's a different color. Now it's green.
Do you think that they're going to keep, like, defenders in Destiny 2?
Yes.
Yeah, you think that they're going to move forward with the subclasses they have? They're not going to just, like, wipe them out and start from scratch?
I think they have a problem with the lore right now to get rid of them that way. You know,
it's true.
They're part of the storyline now.
Like, 90% of people haven't even read the Grimoire, so we're good.
I think if they wanted to revamp them, you know, they could do something like that, but I think just ripping out something like Defender out of the game and replacing it with something else would be not the greatest idea.
Mm-hmm. Quodron the Gatelord. Man, I haven't seen you in a while, man. How you doing? Prison of Elders and Year One raids are pointless right now. Should they be useful in some way?
For new players, they're not useless.
This one hits home for Quodron, I bet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wants to make himself a little bit more.
He had himself to be relevant when the Three of Coins farming was going on.
Guys, I made this Twitter account and nobody ever comes see me anymore.
Oh man. I feel the same. I feel badly for the Galahorn guy too.
Yeah, he had to add like a mustache and a top hat to his thing to make himself look relevant. Going through a midlife crisis over there.
He went and bought a Ferrari and is driving around. I was
just
going to
say, he just got a Corvette. What do you guys think? Year one raids, are they pointless?
It's Patrick and I are from WoWland, where everything becomes irrelevant the next time something new comes out. Like, him and I are used to that. That's gaming 101 for us. Like, oh, we're moving up in power level, old stuff gets left behind. I think it would be cool if they did it, but we kind of talked about it earlier. It depends on how loot is brought back. If it's brought back, do you nerf stuff like Found Verdict, Fatebringer, Vision of Confluence to make it more year two friendly? is it going to be worth running? You know, why do people want to run it? Because you can still go run Vault of Glass and Crota's End right now if you want. It sounds more like we want these to be relevant because we want them to give loot, not we want these to be relevant because Destiny is set up in a way where lower level stuff can still totally kick your ass if you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like to me, when people ask for those raids back, they really want them back with loot and with incentive.
They want a 320 Fatebringer.
Right, and that's where we kind of fall into some interesting challenges with regards to what Bungie wants, you know, for their game, what, you know, how they want loot to work and all that kind of stuff, and that's not a question I feel like many of us can answer because we don't know or anything like that, so it's...
I actually feel like they are relevant. They are reusing that content. You know, I already talked about the quest that where you have to go back and do it. You go back to Crota's End as well in this DLC. I think that's really cool. You know, you kill the two, or you go and steal Crota's soul or whatever you're doing in there. I think that's cool. It's a cool way of using the old raids and the old content. I'm down with that. I love how you have to go back in and kill Atheon with, you know, you're fully leveled up, you know, everything. You just, like, rock his world. I think that's fun as hell. Like, I'm okay with how they're treating the year one raids. I think it's a cool way to do it. You're not going to get a 320 Fatebringer, though.
Right.
Same rules.
I have seen a couple of Twitter pictures directed at me saying that they got a Fatebringer. I was like, you are one lucky guy.
Yeah.
When that hand cannon buff comes back in.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty good. But yeah, it's not a question we can really give any sort of true answer without asking Bungie directly about what they feel about it.
All right. Well, that was the 46 Planet Destiny podcast, and I got through it without raging about Target, even though at one point I think I was going to there. So,
yep, GG. You're about to.
We brought you back down. Down to Earth.
You held me back.
You know, actually, one last Twitter question. LaGreasy Tang asks, I'm thinking of getting a job at Target, Patrick.
You just want to. What are the
options?
That is an actual tweet because I saw that earlier.
Oh my God. That's perfect. Thanks for asking that question. Wow.
You want to get a job at Target. You have to be in my position when I was getting a job at Target where I was like, I need money. And so I had to work at, I took that job, which you can't say in the interview. Like, why do you want to work here at Target? Well,
I need to feed my family.
You have money. And I want
And it. I can work for money. So please give me money and I'll do stuff.
Yeah.
And
so Patrick, how do you see yourself fitting into the Target community?
I see myself fitting in here from about 8:45 when I clock in till about 3 p.m. when I clock out. That's about the time. Well, Patrick, that's not a fast, fun, friendly environment. I know it's not. By the way, guys,
we were so close.
It's Thanksgiving. We can have some fun. The Target, they want you to be like fun, happy, and all the time, and they write all the fun, happy messages that you do up on a wall called the vibe, and what they call it is vibing.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you want to wear the recommended minimum flare, or do you want to wear more flare?
That's basically what it feels like. And of course, you know, they sell red shirts. I own one pair of pants now.
Because sell those shirts? You don't get them for free?
No, you have to buy your own shirts.
Yeah,
you have to buy your own shirts.
You don't get a uniform?
No. You had to buy your own everything. They gave you your name tag. That's about it.
That's nice.
And they misspelled mine, so then I had to wait. I think it was like 4 months for me to get my first one. So I was Patrick, but without a CK. It was just a C.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was just going to be Patrick.
Patrick?
Yeah, Patrick.
Patrick. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the best question of the day.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Killed it.
No, I'll, on my personal channel, I'll be doing some big rants about Target, just doing like the telling stories from it. Yeah.
Tales from retail.
Like this one time when I was, you know, just tired of everyone's shit.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. I was just tired of everyone's shit. Love so when I'm sitting there having to restock shelves, and there's some little bratty kid making a bunch of noises, and I start mimicking his noises.
Okay.
And then his father...
Just mute his mic, and
his
we're good.
His father was standing right next to him and heard me mimicking his noises. And I was doing it in a very obnoxious manner. And my manager was also standing next to me, which I didn't notice. And then he just comes up...
I wish we were on TeamSpeak.
He just comes up to me and goes, "Hey... you don't have kids, do you? Why are you being so inconsiderate?" And I'm like, "I don't know if I have any kids. You're right." And he just went away. And then my manager goes, "So you're going to need to not do that ever again." I'm like, that's cool. Yeah, I hated working with Target because kids and everything.
Well, you can find me at the Briar Rabbit or at the Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube. Thanks for watching.
Oh, man.
Tefty.
You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter, and you can catch the streams that I do for Planet Destiny at twitch.tv/planet_destiny, and check out my own channels as well, the YouTube channel, Teft Games, and my Twitch channel, Tefty Teft. Thanks, guys, and happy Thanksgiving.
And this has been Pope Bear. You can follow me on Twitter at Pope Bear. I stream occasionally with Planet Destiny, and you can find me lurking in their streams.
And I am Datto. You can find me over at youtube.com/DattoDoesDestiny, or you can find me on my live streams on Twitch, twitch.tv/itsDatto.
And I'm Patrick Casey. You can find me on Planet Destiny. Usually I go first, but I'm going to go last here this time because I was too busy ranting about Target.
You can find Patrick on Planet Destiny's website, but you will not find him at a Target.
Pro tip if you're ever...
You can find him on reddit.com/r/talesfromretail.
probably, yeah. Pro tip, if you're ever wanting to get a promotion at Target, don't say that you need more money because that's not a valid excuse. So...
Damn.
Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone. This is the 46th Planet Destiny podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, that was awesome.